Good morning and welcome to Mondays with Miles. Dr. Brandon, our all-staff meeting a few weeks ago, someone asked you about the state of higher education, and I thought that this was too valuable conversation for our listeners not to, hear. So I just want to open up. Where are we in higher education?
Well, the reason why we want to talk about higher education and the reason I talked to the staff of the NCAA about it is because college sports is clearly part of a university, is part of higher education, and we can't think of ourselves as separate in any way whatsoever, including financial ways. And one of the areas that I think we need to be cognizant of, particularly in Division I, is the financing of higher education. It's getting a lot more difficult. In Division I, 80% of the schools are publics. In Division II, it's about 50-50, and in Division III, the majority are privates. But in both the publics and privates cases, we're seeing a great deal of financial stress on higher education these days. For the publics, what's going on is that the tax base that supports public higher education is lower because of a low economy. Now, that tends to lag by a year. And so we're not even yet seeing the full effects on higher education of a bad economy. But it also affects a private institution, because private institutions, particularly most of them in Division III, are tuition-driven institutions, and they're running on the basis of tuition. And tuition is going up, but because the economy is bad, people are having a hard time paying these high tuition rates for public and private institutions. So the resources are being stressed there as well. Certainly in all three divisions, the vast majority of schools are subsidizing intercollegiate athletics. And so the pressure is on the athletic departments, too, because the money for the subsidy is being pressed as well.
So what happens here? I mean, these elite private schools, as you say, I think about Division III schools coming from a Division III background. A lot of them are $45,000, if not more, a year now. And you're saying that the schools need that tuition to be able to run their programmings and offer diverse programs to their students and student-athletes. How can people afford that? What happens?
There are a couple of quick points to make here. First of all, on average, tuition only makes up about one-third of the cost of educating a student. So the institution has to get money from elsewhere. But secondly, it's like saying, you know, I can't afford a car because, look, that Rolls-Royce is $250,000, so I don't have anything to drive. Not everything is $250,000 when you're buying a car. Similarly, not every school is $45,000. I myself have always been a public university man and always thought that you get a, particularly in the state in which you live, you always get a good value in public higher education. The reason why public higher education is a lot less expensive than private higher education is because public higher education is supported by the states. And as I said before, as the states are being pressed because their tax revenues are going down, it's forcing tuition up. And not a small amount, but in some cases a reasonably high amount, still a lot less expensive than $45,000. But also, anything that the school supports, including subsidizing athletics, then, is at risk.
So how does this all impact athletics?
I think the additional subsidy that almost everyone uses in all three divisions is going to be hard-pressed. Schools are going to be hard-pressed. Now, in Division I, the expenditure rate in athletics overshadows the revenues that come in, for example, from TV and media, from ticket sales. So they're spending more than they have in Division I on average, and where are they getting the rest of the money? From the subsidy of the general fund of the university. And as the general fund of the university is pressured in order to support the academic side of the house, athletics gets pressured. And that means in the next few years we're going to see our athletic departments be pressured even more than they are now for financial reasons.
It's pretty fascinating. As you know, we see on the news on CNN that there are economic struggles across the country. It's really reflecting itself in higher education.
Of course, it's one of our major institutions, social institutions in the country, and it is not immune, with the exception of those schools that have an enormous endowment. It's not immune to the ebb and flow of our economy. In fact, higher education directly feels plus or minus where the economy goes.
Yeah, I think just to close out, I mean, I find it kind of interesting to think about some of our schools, specifically those that are in areas where they have to travel to get to competitors. We have schools, Division III schools in Texas, that have to go 300, 400 miles to get to their closest Division III competitors. With gas prices the way they are, athletics departments are going to have to make some serious decisions about how they schedule and all of those associated behaviors.
Oh, I think that's exactly right, Joshua. I think the cost of doing business, as it were, in intercollegiate athletics is going up, not just because of gas prices, but because of market conditions and salaries, facility costs. Lots of reasons it's going up, and the money is getting harder and harder to come by. This is for another time, but it's worth mentioning at this point. What some institutions, including those in Division I, have started to do is cut back on the number of sports in order to save money. I want to say outright here that I don't like that approach. And the reason I don't like that approach is what you're essentially doing is taking away participation opportunities from young men and women. And the reason we do college sports at all is to provide participation opportunities because we know that it adds to the educational value while in school. And so we're actually taking away educational value as we make those kinds of cuts.
Yeah, well, that doesn't sound good at all, and we're going to have to definitely revisit that topic on a future podcast. Dr. Brown, thanks so much.
My pleasure.